All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Can you see it? Did you know?
Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes scores!
Yes, it's just a take you to the sun.
First career NHL goal, Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down Wednesday.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our heart. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public display is that what you need?
They slayed the dragon!
Yes, existence, existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off-air, let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. Use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, at ZephyrEpic.com. Get you $5 off your order, free shipping anywhere in Canada on any order over $50. Go check them out on all platforms, Zephyr Epic. .com. Check them out on Twitch. A lot of different stuff going on at Zephyr Epic. My name is Dave Quadrelli. I am joined, as always, by the man who built the place fresh from vacation, Chris Faber. Chris, tell us about your endeavors in Nanaimo.
Well, I'm feeling good, man. I had a really good good vacation time. Good, solid, like, 2 weeks of enjoying sports, not having to do a lot of content. I think I wrote a couple articles. I recorded one podcast with you, which, by the way, was hilarious to watch. If somebody would have seen how I was recording that one, because we recorded Friday night, our last show that we did. Then the audio was lost somehow. I'm using my old laptop over there. Bad setup, didn't work. So the next morning, or I go to a pool party that night, and I come up the next morning, and I'm not feeling great. I recorded that whole podcast laying on my stomach on the bed with the microphone right in front of me.
Wow.
So hopefully it was okay. I listened back, and I sounded not super hungover, but it was funny because like the first half of that episode, I was like drinking squish. I was like getting going. I was getting ready for the pool party. And then the second half of the episode is me like the morning after. So it was not a great time.
Had a couple technical difficulties. It's nice to be back in the studio, I must say. Back together.
It's hot.
It's hot, but it's good to be back here and not having any sort of technical difficulties. That was pretty underrated aspect of all this.
It really is. And that was the hardest part about the vacation was like those two or three days where it was like 37, 38, 39, whatever it was, whatever 42, your car was telling
42
you.
42 here.
42? Yeah. Well, whatever it hit.
Must have been that hot there too, right?
I mean, it was hot over there, yeah. I don't think it got past 40, but like on my vacation, there was those 3 days where like I didn't want to leave the house. I had AC in there. I was on vacation. I just sat around and watched sports. Ignored the Twitter drama that was going on in Canucks Twitter and just watch sports, man. I watched baseball. I watched, like I said, the hot dog eating contest.
Very nice.
Spent a lot of time watching some Euros, too, which I don't like, but like you know, just wasting the days away.
You're an honorary Italian.
I'm cheering for Italy 100%. Yeah, I told you, down there, that I'm rooting for Italy. And now they're in the final. Big day for the Quadrelli family.
Big day for me, my nonno, and you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to be a part of
it. We're recording this while England and Denmark are playing, by the way.
Which I don't care about at all.
You should. We're hoping Denmark wins.
We want Denmark to win?
Luke, the bartender, friend of the show, is definitely listening to this. And
I want England to win, I think.
Do you?
I want Italy to beat England in the final.
I want Italy to win in the final. Yeah. They have a better chance of winning against Denmark than they do England. Like, England's a very good team, dude.
Man, I'll tell you, this is crazy. I got in some advanced statistics in soccer while I was on vacation, and man,
hot start to the Canucks Conversation podcast.
Yeah, England does a lot of their advanced analytics that I was reading. They're not a very good team. They've just scored at the right time.
Wow,
and they're like one of the worst teams at getting shots on net. A lot of things. I'm not sure if all this is accurate, but I remember.
But we also don't really know how much analytics actually matter in soccer.
And also, I don't really care either.
Yeah. Let's go Italy. We'll leave it at that.
I'm cheering for Italy, man. We can make, if Italy wins, we'll make those meatballs that we talked about on the Patreon.
Yes. Celebratory meatballs. Yes. We did just talk on the Patreon. We put out an episode before we started recording. Patreon.com/CanucksConvo, $5 and $10 tier gets you all of the bonus content. We talked extensively about your vacation. We'll save that, leave it there so people can go listen to that. But we should talk about the Canucks because
we're on the Patreon. Let's talk about what we're going to do this month.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. So what we're going to do for the month of July, because some people are, you know, on the fence. Do I want to sign up for the Patreon? Do I not want to sign up for the Patreon? But we're going to do a giveaway this month. We already have one person who's entered.
Sterling
Wilson.
Yes.
He has joined the Patreon. So he's entered into the contest. Whoever signs up for the Patreon in the month of July, we'll be entered for a nice little prize package that we're gonna put together. It's gonna include some T-shirts, some hockey cards, some other fun stuff, some stickers, some other Canucks combo stuff. We'll put them all in there for a nice little giveaway package for somebody. So we got one entrance right now with Sterling.
Sterling,
he's looking good. He's hoping no one else signs up. But here with the price of gas that's going up right now, we gotta get a couple more Patreons.
The Patreon, yeah,
and you can listen to the Patreon. Tell a story about I got punched in the face on the last day in Nanaimo.
Yeah, that was bizarre. You don't have to tell that story. Keep it.
It was a long story.
It was a long story.
It's on the Patreon, patreon.com/CanucksConvo. Come sign up. You get it. We're doing shows every single week. We took last week off.
Yeah, it's all non-hockey talk. It's Faber and Quad Shoot the Bleep. We just talk about everything going on other than hockey. It's a lot of fun. We really enjoy them. So yeah, hopefully this pushes you over the fence. Speaking of getting pushed over the fence, have you seen that video of that girl pushing the bear on the fence? Like, oh my gosh. So for those that haven't seen it.
Before I even went on vacation.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But for those that haven't seen it, Mama Bear with her cubs walking on this girl, I think in California's fence, and her dogs, like she has three dogs, go running out after it, and the smallest dog gets too close to it, and the bear just like picks up the dog with its paw, mm-hmm. right? And like starts picking it up. This girl comes running out in like a sundress, like not in any sort of bear fighting equipment. And she just pushes the bear.
Yeah.
Like the bear's on the fence and she pushes it.
Bold.
And this like huge bear falls and like tries to scramble and try and figure out what just happened. It reminded me of that video of that guy that punched the kangaroo.
Oh, that's a good video.
Yeah, and the kangaroo is just like stunned.
I've heard that, and maybe this isn't 100% correct, but I think I've heard this around the rugby club, so I feel like it's a good source for Australians. But Australians, like, think that bears are pretty scary animals, because you know, like, I think a lot of stuff in Australia is scary animals, all the poisonous snakes, spiders and all that stuff. Heck, even kangaroos is one of the jacked up ones.
No, I'm not dealing
with
that.
But what I've heard is, like, Australians are pretty freaked out of bears, like, for an animal. And Australians don't seem like they're afraid of a lot of things. We have some Australian listeners. Maybe reply to us.
Brad Kramer.
Are bears scary? Because here, Pete, like you said, that lady, she went up and pushed it. I saw a video the other day of some guy just taking a selfie. He's like, I'm out here reading a book, and a bear just walks by, is on his deck. Well, he's on the deck sitting down.
Guy must have been from Port
Coquitlam. And a couple of the cubs walk on, and like that's when you're in trouble, I think, right? When the cubs are around.
Yeah.
But I think I want to get some clarification from our Australian listeners.
Yeah.
One of the top bears. Canucks hockey podcasts in Australia.
Yeah.
One of the top hockey podcasts in Australia on the charts, actually.
Fantastic.
Shout out Australia.
Yeah. Shout out Australia.
That was
Tell
one
us
of the last
you're...
places my girlfriend went on vacation before the pandemic.
Really?
She went to Australia.
Wow. I have family there. Yeah. I don't think they listen to the podcast, but I got family out there. The funny thing about the family that we have in Australia. So,
are they Italian?
Okay, so listen to this. So my great-grandpa, who was Italian, he migrated to Canada, and then his brother went to Australia. In Australia, Italians were like, not, I don't want to use the word discriminated against, but they weren't like very popular in Australia. So they dropped
popular over here.
They dropped the I from Quadrelli, and they changed their last name to Quadrel and just assimilated. And now I've met my uncle, whose last name is Quadrel, and he's so Australian. Like, you would not know that he has Italian ancestry at all. It's crazy.
Interesting.
Yes.
That's strange. But he moved from Italy.
Yeah, Italy to Australia. Italy, Australia. Quadrel. Changed it from Quadrelli to Quadrel. Quadrel, there's no trace of that being an Italian
last name.
Crazy
how less Italian that is than Quadrelli.
Just one letter off. If you put the I there, it's like the most Italian thing you've ever heard.
What was up with the Italian guy in it was a semifinal game of the Euros. That Italian guy, he's rubbing the guy, he was smacking up Jordi Alba. He looked like he was annoying.
Oh, Chiellini?
Yeah,
he's Italy's drunk uncle. He's the best. He's great. That guy's almost 40.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. We got to stop talking about soccer. He's a defender. He's a defender. Okay, he's played a long time.
Let's go to Canucks stuff. We have a lot to talk about with the Canucks stuff.
Yes. We do have a lot to talk about.
There's a lot.
Okay. We'll start at Nate Schmidt because this is kind of, you know, when it was coming out, we can't say too much and everything's going on with, you know, people being like, okay, like, this is just rumors. Well, Elliot Friedman's now talking about it. And I'm sorry, but if you're still on the side of, it's just the bloggers talking about this, I'm sorry. You're just wrong.
The interesting thing about how Friedman said it was, like, the day after the season ended, he was about to report something. That's what he said.
Yeah.
But then he heard that there was going to be the exit meeting with Schmidt, and that was the only thing that held him back from reporting it.
Yeah.
But, sorry, continue on.
To remind everybody, no, you're right. To remind everybody from what you're saying, Nate Schmidt never did an end-of-season media availability. He couldn't, like, I confirmed this with the Canucks. Nate Schmidt was gone the next morning. He left early in the morning, the next morning after the season ended. He didn't stick around, didn't want to do his... Well, I haven't confirmed if he didn't want to do it. I just know that he didn't do it. I shouldn't say he didn't want to do it. But yes, he was gone early the next morning. It wasn't like he stuck around in Vancouver and just didn't do the end of season media availability. He was just gone the next morning. So
yeah, and the big thing is we heard the same thing about JT Miller.
Yeah,
his camp shut that down real quick.
Yeah,
you know, that's what Elliot Friedman said. He talked to Miller.
He just needed a reset, I think. It's a grueling season, man. I want to bring up something around the league that we heard. But Patrick Laine, when he was asked about the World Hockey Championship, he just said, "I can't even think about hockey. Like, I can't even think about playing a hockey game right now. Like, I'm like, you know." The season that these guys just went through, and yeah, I know, million-dollar athlete playing a kid's game, I get it. I get all that. But man, compare that to what they're used to, and what a mentally draining season that is. And for a guy like JT Miller, what, 3 2-week quarantines the guy had to go through?
Yeah.
Or I guess one of them was only 1 week, and then he joined the team at the start of the year. But man,
but then having thing kind of cut him down, then I'm sure when the outbreak happened, he's cut down. So yeah, probably three.
So comes to training camp, quarantines for 2 weeks by law, right? No problem there. Gets ready for the season, then has to take a week off, then has to try and find his legs under him once he starts the season a week later than everybody else, right? Canucks are skidding. He's not finding success right away. The top line couldn't get it done at the start of the year. Then all of a sudden, He loses his line mate in Elias Pettersson. Now he's given pretty crappy line mates. I think we can say that.
Yeah.
Given pretty crappy line mates, has to play this season. And you just see it in his body language. Like, people are like, oh, he's not a leader. It's like, man, that is a tough situation for him to be in.
And he didn't hide it. That's the thing.
Exactly.
A lot of these players, and Nate Schmidt might be an example of it. Maybe he was hiding it a lot better than JT Miller because he wasn't swearing in an empty arena where everyone was picking it up.
Yeah.
Wasn't slashing a stick. Nate Schmidt's a pretty positive guy, it seems like. It's just, I think about where he's in his career, the contract that he's at right now, the teams that he played on before, Washington
seeing
Capitals.
Tampa. Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about Miller seeing Tampa like win the cup without him.
With Schmidt, I mean, Schmidt goes from the Capitals to the Knights to the Canucks and has that year last year during a pandemic where he can't go out with everyone. He can't, you know, see the city for what it really is. He can't have those positive interactions with fans and stuff and things that, you know, keep players going. And yeah, I think it's tough, and I wonder. Like, I know that there's rumors out there, and the reason I think a lot of the rumors are out there is just because no one from Schmidt's camp has came and shut it down.
Yes.
Like JT Miller did, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I don't think that their conversations are like ongoing and continuing and there's a trade that's needing to be done. I just think that the reason this rumor is kind of going a little bit wild is because there hasn't been anything that's been, you know, to shut down the rumors. And that's kind of what keeps this thing going as it being a possibility. But man, if Schmidt and his camp came out, like Jim Benning said it, right? They're not looking to trade Nate Schmidt. He told us that at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But you haven't heard anything from Schmidt's camp. So I think you have to assume that this is a viable rumor and not just, like you said, a blogger's post.
Well, I think not only that, but because it's being reported by Elliot Friedman, I think you have to kind of understand that this is real and this is happening. But I want to clarify here what we're talking about. Is there's no formal trade request. Like, it's not like Nate Schmidt, if he doesn't get dealt this offseason, is going to refuse to come to camp. Like, that's not where we're at in this situation. It's sounding like they floated the idea of, hey, if you can find something that works, we'd like a trade. That's what it sounds like to me that the Schmidt camp kind of asked for at the end of the year. And I think for the Canucks, they don't want to trade him, but I think he's one of their tradable assets with some value. He's just coming off such a tough year. So
think about what he had to do, too. He had to carry Alex Edler for most of the season.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough task. Like, we talked about it last year, and I'm surprised we really didn't see a lot of it this past season, was Schmidt and Hughes playing together.
Yeah.
How much of a better mood are you in playing with Quinn Hughes than you are with Alex Edler for the season? You know, obviously, Quinn Hughes found some success with Hamonic, and that was great. But next year, if Hamonic's back, why not have him with Jack Rathbone? You know, that's another player who's going to be a similar spot who needs a defensive guy to play with. Then you play Schmidt with Hughes. I still think that that's an option for them. And we're talking, you know, we've heard so much talk about, you know, if they lose Nate Schmidt, they got to bring in two more top four defensemen. But, like, I'm sorry, the Canucks just aren't going to have four top four defensemen next year. They're going to have another makeshift defense where, you know, Jack Rathbone, a lot of people, maybe he can be top four. He doesn't need to play top four. He just needs to play with Travis Hamonic and be effective at 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Right, that's the situation he's going to be in. You're going to have another pairing that's going to be Tyler Myers and probably Alex Edler, and that's going to play a lot of defensive minutes. That's going to start a lot of the plays in the defensive zone, a lot of the faceoffs in the defensive zone, kill a lot of penalties. You're not going to have four top four defensemen next year, but you're going to have a defense that comes together and looks a lot like it did last year. But I'm wondering how much of a difference it looks if you have one of that pairing be Quinn Hughes and Nate Schmidt, and then Jack Rathbone and Travis Hamonic.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Then you play the wheels off of Schmidt and Hughes.
Exactly.
You play the wheels off of them, and then your next pairing is probably going to be Edler and Myers.
Yeah.
For minutes at 5-on-5.
Yeah.
And your third one, you know, then you really can have a good spot for Jack Rathbone to come into the league with Travis Hamonic on a third pairing.
I am not reporting anything, but I get the vibe. No facts, just vibes. I get the vibe that there's going to be a trade coming for the defense this offseason.
Who, though? Schmidt?
No. Sorry. I mean, they're going to trade for somebody. They just need to be able to move some money out, which is going to, like, here's the thing, man. It's a busy offseason and it hasn't started yet. Like,
I think a lot of this offseason is going to depend on what Edler wants to do and what they're going to do with Edler.
Okay. Well, man, Edler needs to be coming back on a pretty cheap deal. And speaking of cheap deals, I don't know if you saw Brandon Sutter, what Nick Bjugstad just signed for. That's what they need to get.
I didn't
Sutter.
See what Bjugstad.
2 years, 900,000. That's what they need Sutter at.
Damn.
What do you mean?
That's really good.
Yeah, Bjugstad's not very good.
No,
like,
but
he's worse than Sutter.
Deal, though.
Or sorry, Sutter's worse than Bjugstad.
Yeah.
That's what the Canucks need. Like, that's if they bring back Brandon Sutter, it needs to be at that number. Like, it needs to be a deal that you can just bury in the AHL, right? Like that doesn't affect them at all, right? Anything under 1.2 million or whatever, that doesn't affect them on the salary cap. That's what they need.
1.095.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. I don't do numbers. Come on.
I do. Well, I'm an AHL guy. You know this.
You are an AHL guy.
But yeah, I think a lot of it's going to depend on Edler. And I think they're leaning towards Edler's going to be back. I have no idea. Yeah. I have no reason to believe why he won't be back.
Yeah.
And that means you're getting pretty much the same defense corps as last year, except for having Jack Rathbone be in there instead of Olia Levy or Jalen Chatfield or whoever other name that you want to say, AHL tweener. I think that's what you're getting, and I don't think, like, I know that Rathbone's going to be an improvement to what they had as their sixth defenseman, but I don't know if he makes that much of an improvement on the defense, who you're going to be getting a lot of what you saw last year once again, and maybe something with, you know, a shift in the pairings, maybe that Hughes and Schmidt is going to be the top pairing for them moving forward, but that's a lot to ask for something that you didn't even really try last year for a lot of games. Like, I still can't believe that we didn't get a good run of Nate Schmidt playing with Quinn Hughes. It did not make sense to me why we didn't see that for a good run of games when this team was losing, when this team was winning. Like, it just didn't make sense to me to see that. But there was chemistry, obviously, between Hamonic and Hughes, and I guess that's kind of the only reason why they wanted to keep it that way. But I think Hamonic fits a lot of similar things that you need from Jack Rathbone's partner, so I want to see that partner together too.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely don't disagree. I want to shift the conversation a little bit because something that happened while you were away, don't know if you heard this, the Abbotsford AHL team, it's sounding a lot like it's going to be the Abbotsford Canucks, but I don't want to go at anybody, but it sounds like a lot of people were kind of, they read the Abbotsford news article, and that Abbotsford news article talked a lot about how that was the name that's been registered. It was registered a day later, the domain, the Abbey Canucks, was registered shortly after the Canucks relocation announcement. And people are like, oh, it's Abbotsford Canucks then. But that being said, there was like seven more.
I was going to say.
That were all registered. And these are the ones. So Abbey Canucks, AbbotsfordCanucks.com, AbbotsfordAviators.com, AbbotsfordArrows.com, AbbotsfordMillionaires.com, FraserValleyMillionaires.com, and FraserValleyCanucks.com. They were all acquired by various registrants. So I can look. They're all over the place. Like, there's some in Iceland, right? And there's some that... I think the reason that people are looking
at... Some good reporting here. Some good digging.
Yeah, so
This takes works to figure out this out.
Well, a lot of it's from the Abbey News article.
Right. That's what I'm saying, like, that whoever wrote it.
Yeah. They're...
Sorry, I forget his name, but he's gonna be reporting on the Abbotsford team a lot.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up after this while you talk. But what I wanted to say about it is just various registrants, right? But I think the reason people are really clinging to the Abbotsford Canucks one is because it's registered by the same registrant who owns Canucks.com and registered Canucks.com in, like, I think 1995 or something like that when they originally obtained Canucks.com. But yeah, that's the scoop on the Abbotsford team, Chris. Yeah. Our Abbotsford Aces look like they're going by the wayside.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Aces. I think it came down to Arrows, Canucks, and Golden Eagles, and I think it's going to end up being Canucks or Arrows. I don't think it's for sure going to be Abbotsford Canucks yet, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I don't really hate the name. I just don't love it. I feel like that's a lot of the people's opinion on this, is that, you know, they don't hate it, they don't love it. There's some things to like about having the same name as your parent team, and there's some reason to kind of be sad that they didn't want to do something a little bit different, have some fun, make a cool logo. But that costs money, I think, you know, and it's too bad that they didn't want to kind of invest into that and make a logo. But then at the same time, you put out a new logo, and it's like, sometimes they just don't hit, right? Like, some logos, they don't work well. They're, you know, the way that they come in, a lot of people are going to be unhappy with whatever logo they were to create on social media. And it's, you know, I would have liked them to take a swing, though. I really would have liked to take a swing, put out a new logo, give us something different. But it's not like it's the worst thing in the world. They're Canucks, but out of the, you know, on the list, Canucks was definitely near the bottom for me for the names that I liked.
I agree.
Like, I didn't like the idea of them being the Canucks, but I still think Aces is the best. I think Arrows is better than Canucks. I was hoping that they were going to do something fun and do something cool with the logo, and it hasn't been announced yet. We're going to get it on Friday.
Yes, I was just about to say they're announcing it on Friday.
So we'll hear on Friday. We'll have that for next show, obviously, but a full breakdown of the Abbotsford AHL logo. But, you want to stick in Abbotsford for a little bit? Because I talked to Ryan Johnson.
I thought you were going to bring up Crowsbury Farms. They talked about that extensively on Donnie and Dolly.
I was watching. It's good place out there, man.
I mean, I have to go try it. I have to go check it out.
Good date spot.
Yeah.
I'll tell you on the Patreon about your dating life. And
yeah, gotta go check it out.
You gotta go see it. Oh, man.
Is the waffles. Like, it's busy, right, on a weekend?
Oh, so, yeah. Well, like, you don't want to go on a weekend.
I can go on a weekday.
Go on a weekday.
What time is it open?
9 a.m., 7 a.m. Depends on what you're doing. Because they got, I think now that they're in the summer, they got the waffles going. And the waffles, normally, I think they only do them on the weekends in the off season.
Yeah.
But now that they're in season with the berries, man, you got to go try these waffles. Yeah, and there's like strawberry and raspberry syrup on top of like a big waffle, a bunch of berries, like a ridiculous amount of berries, whipped cream. And then you put that raspberry sauce on top again. Ooh, it's good. They got little treats too, little drinks that are tasty. Yeah, okay. And then you go through the market. Get some jam. That's what you need. Good jam.
Yeah, I'll do
big
it.
Big fan of good jam. All right, Abbotsford. Ryan Johnson. Talked to him yesterday for about 35 minutes. Really good conversation with him. A lot of things to dive into. Let's start with the Sedins, what he expects from the Sedins. He basically, some of the things that he mentioned to me was he talked, you know, about when he came into the front office role. What were some of the things that he needed to learn quickly? Because Ryan Johnson did this in 2013. That's when he came into the organization. He's a team consultant for 2 years before he was the director of player development. So he's basically saying like he's so excited because he knows the way that the Sedins think, the way that they work. He's been around them. He's talked to them. He's played with them. He's gone on a playoff run with them. Now he's going to be the one who's going to be bringing them into the league. And he thinks that he learned a lot from Stan Smeal when he came in, just about how a front office works. And Ryan Johnson, I think, like Stan Smeal, I don't want to like say that I'm knocking anything about him, but Ryan Johnson understands the front office a lot more than a guy like Stan Smeal to me. Ryan Johnson is a smart, smart hockey mind to have in the organization. And now he's going to be the one teaching the Sedins about what a front office looks like. And he was saying that, yes, they're going to be spending a lot of time out there in Abbotsford. Obviously, this is something that's not news. But to him, like the quote was something along the lines of, you know, what else could he ask for? He always wants players and people in the organization to be set up with everything that they need to want to do their job. And he was kind of saying that if he's going to get an opportunity now to have the Sedins with him, what else could he ask for a tool on his job? Than to have two of the smartest hockey minds in the Canucks organization coming out and helping him. And I think that, you know, to hear that from Ryan and to hear, you know, what RJ was saying about just how easy the things are going to be now. Like I asked him, I said straight up, my question was, is it going to be night and day to see roster transfers next season? And he said, absolutely night and day. Like they're going to be, if Jonah Gadjevich has 12 goals in 10 games, he's going to the NHL. Mm-hmm. If he's going to be that hot at the AHL, he was saying like he used Jonah Gadjevich as an example. If he's playing very well at the AHL, if Jet Wu is looking like he's a physical dominant defensive player, they're going to give him a shot at the NHL. Why not? He's down the road. You can call him up for a game if they're losing. Roster changes don't just need to be the ones that are on your active roster now because you can make that shift that day and get that player in that night.
That's going to help them with cap stuff too. We see that a lot with the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? Like they have Lawrence Gilman, obviously. You know, they have the Marlies just down the road. It's going to help a lot with stuff like that. And I think, you know, that'll be something Chris Gear focuses a lot on likely. So, yeah, that's another kind of aspect of all this that we're not really talking about. But, yeah, that's going to help them with, you know, different things with the cap.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be, you can make a lot of, you can save a lot of hundred thousands dollars, little things here throughout the season to have that cap looking better. The other thing, there's a couple things I want to touch on. I mentioned this on the drive over here. I thought it was cool because Ryan Johnson, general manager of the AHL team for the Canucks, he's also the director of player development. And something that I asked him was like, what's the difference? Like, what is this one job or is this two jobs? And he's like, it's two jobs. Like, he's doing two jobs for the Canucks right now. Two very important jobs. And the cool thing that I liked about him being able to have these two jobs, and this is something he talked about, was so day one, when you're drafted by the Vancouver Canucks, you get drafted, you're a first round pick, you're a seventh round pick. The first person you communicate with is going to be Ryan Johnson. He said most of the time, specifically, you know, first round picks a little bit differently, but everyone else, the first person they talk to is Ryan Johnson. The first person they check into after their season started is Ryan Johnson. At the halfway point, it's Ryan Johnson. And then what he was saying, what he likes about it is, you know, he's got to be positive with these players when they're young, when they're 17, 18, when they're 18, 19, 20. It's a lot of things to just help them. Like, give them everything they need to play their best hockey. But then what he told me was, like, when they get to the AHL, you know, They're not kids anymore at that point. They're pros now in North America, and he's got to be pretty hard with them. He said that's when, you know, because he's met these guys and built up that relationship for 2 or 3 years, normally being pretty soft and being pretty generous and being nice to these guys. But when you get there in the AHL, that's when he cracks down on it. He's like, now you got to be a pro in North America, and we want to get you out of here. That's something that he told me. It was like his biggest goal that's different from the AHL GM to the director of player development. In director of player development, he wants to get them to North America. These guys like Zlodiev, Pearson. He wants to get them to North America. He wants to get them into the AHL team. But then once they're there, he wants to get them out of there. He wants to get them to the NHL. And that was his goal. And I found that really interesting because, like, he's literally trying to get people to the AHL, then trying to get them out. Those are the two different goals for him as he's moving forward with it.
Worked on Jacek.
Worked on a lot of players. He also... He told me a funny story about Nikolai Goldobin, and this is about traveling, right? This is the traveling thing. Nikolai Goldobin gets called up to the Vancouver Canucks a couple years ago there in Utica. He gets called up to the Vancouver Canucks, and Ryan Johnson gets a call at 3:45 in the morning, and it's Nikolai Goldobin, and he's like laughing. He's like, hey, RJ, it's like a funny thing. My car didn't come. And Nikolai Goldobin, like, we know, he's just like a smiley, nice guy. And RJ's telling me a story. He's like, so Nikolai's there. He's laughing. The Uber didn't show up at 3:45 to take him to the airport to get to Vancouver. And like, sit there and he's like, and then Nikolai calls again. He's laughing again. And then RJ's like, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. It's like 3:45 in the morning. So they're calling different cabs, calling different Ubers, calling all these things. No one's picking Nikolai Goldobin up. And apparently Goldie just barely made it to his like 6 o'clock flight out of the Utica airport or whatever airport they had to go to.
That is amazing.
And he was saying, he's like, I'm not going to miss those 3:45 calls because, like, you know, the Canucks would finish their game at 10. The player would be injured, you know, 10 o'clock on the Pacific time. The injury's kind of all settled by 11. That's 2 in the morning in Utica.
Yeah.
So at 11:30 in Vancouver time, it's 2:30 Utica time in the morning, and they have to get the roster movements done if a player is going to be out for a while. So he was excited for no more 3:45 Ubers. So that was a good story with RJ. That's but I got a whole bunch story. More coming in the article. I'm excited to just go back and listen to all the quotes again. I took notes on everything. Another big thing, he told me, Mikey DiPietro next year, so they're playing 68 games. Don't be surprised if Mikey DiPietro plays 50 or more games.
Free Silos.
He said 50 or more games for DiPietro if he doesn't get called up to the NHL.
He should. But he's going to get called up.
I think he will.
Yeah.
And you know what? Very high on Silos, too. We talked about Silos. Because I asked him, I said, you know, that goaltender duo that you're going to have, that's the backbone of this team. Yeah. Like that, you know, in the past, they've been, last couple of years, have been built by a lot of scoring at the top end. But now it's DiPietro and Silos that are going to be winning most games for this team. And he was very excited about Silos. He said, you know, the way that Ian Clark talks about Silos,
yeah,
very high.
Oh, yeah.
Very high. And he's very high on Mikey. Everybody's very high on Mikey. There's going to be a good part in the article just about Mike DiPietro and what he went through this past season. He talked a lot about Mikey. So we'll get into that for sure in the article. So that'll be fun. It was a good chat with Ryan, man. It was a good chat.
Yeah. It's going to be a good article. I got something up my sleeve, too. Yeah. I'm not going to talk too much about it, but got something up my sleeve, so I'll save that. But yeah, well, on the other side of the break, I'll talk a little bit more. Did a little more draft research on some goalies. Gonna talk a little bit
same
more.
Same here. I talked to a bunch of them.
Goalies?
No, not goalies. Just the top 10 prospects.
Well, who cares about the top 10 prospects? Yeah. People want to know which seventh round goalie the Canucks should be taking. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about that and so much more. Keep it locked. Keep it loaded on the Canucks Conversation.
All right. You guys all know about Parallel 49 beer from our commercials here on the show, and now we have a new announcement. Hello, Peach Bod. That's right. It's not all about the Beach Bod this summer. It's all about the Peach Bod this summer. This one's an interesting one, folks. A sparkling peach ale. So you're getting a beer with peach flavor on it, but it's also high in carbonation. It's definitely a different one, and I highly recommend going out there and giving it a try if you're into a peach-flavored beer. And that's something, you know, I'm pretty damn into. I got to get out and try it myself pretty soon here. I will report back on the show about this. So go out there and try the Peach Bod for yourself from Parallel 49 Beer. Check them out on Instagram, at Parallel49, as in the numbers, and then beer, that's Parallel 49 Beer. And be sure to check out their website for more information about how you can get beer through Uber Eats. That's right, through those food delivery apps. Uber Eats, you can get your delivery from Parallel 49 Beer. Be sure to check out their website, parallel49brewing.com. That's parallel, the numbers 49brewing.com.
The pandemic and a slow economy are making it tough on a lot of people to find steady, good-paying work. But one industry is bucking that trend. Construction companies are hiring and need more workers than ever before. Upload your resume to icba.ca and get noticed. With more than 3,000 employers on our ICBA team, our employment network can connect you to businesses crewing up for the 2021 construction season. Trades jobs that pay well, offer excellent benefits, invest in safety training, and give a firm career foundation. Check out icba.ca/jobs.
And one final shout out. You know, I'm just back from vacation. Spent a lot of time drinking Squish Lemonade. I had the original one, Quads, your favorite.
So good.
I think the only one you've tried. But yes, now that so I've had good. All four, the lemonade, I think that's my second best. Pineapple's number one. I found it. You got to go to the big private liquor stores to find it. The biggest private liquor store in your town, that's your best bet. Squish Lemonade. You find them on Instagram as well. Squish Hard Seltzer on Instagram. Find them there. Delicious stuff. Perfect. It was perfect. I went to a couple pool parties while I was on vacation. Had a lot of Squish at both of them. Gave away a lot of Squish to a lot of people and got some people drinking it. So it was good. And somebody even rolled up to one of the pool parties with Squish. So shout out to them.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Very nice. I've tried that pineapple one.
The lemonade, I still think, I say it to this day, the lemonade is still the best. And by the way, back to the other ad. You mentioned we got to record a new one. I've tried the Peach Bot a bunch of times, okay? It's pretty good. It's a pretty good damn beer. I like peach beers, and Peach Pod's amazing. We'll get a new ad run in here soon once we remember. But that's the problem. We always forget to record a new ad. We come in here and play it, and we're like, oh, man, we got to record that new ad still. Yes. We just end up not doing it. So yeah. let's try and do that pretty soon here, maybe this weekend.
Yeah, we'll get that done for sure. But, yes, we need to jump on to the next topic, Chris. And the one that I want to talk about, Kolesov, the goalie that for some reason – you're projecting to go in the fifth or sixth round?
That's where I got him in the draft.
Dude, he's not going fifth or sixth round. I have talked to multiple scouts, okay? They are projecting third round, maybe second. Like, that's like writing Blomqvist, Joel Blomqvist, our hero, as a sixth round pick last year. Like, it's not going to happen.
All I did was that website, and he was there, and I said, perfect. Whatever. I'll take him in the sixth.
He's not going that. Like, that website, whatever it is, it needs to get updated because he's not going that late. Like, if any team gets him in the sixth, that's the best steal of the draft. Because Kolesov is a very, very good goalie.
Well, like, I had a good little mock draft then myself.
Yeah, great mock
draft. A good one.
He's not going to be there, man. He's not going to be there.
All right, well, tell me about some goalies that the Canucks could get then late.
Kolesov, they what? Should take Kolesov in the third round. If Kolesov's there in the third round, I don't think they should use their second. I'm saying very firmly, they should use their first and second to draft skaters.
Do
they
not have a third round pick this year? Two fours?
Oh, you're right. They don't.
So they're not getting him.
Yeah, they're not getting him. Because they can't.
So who are they getting in the fourth or the fifth?
Okay,
they're probably,
he's in the
I bet
fourth.
They're taking one with one of those. Because it's one fourth and then three picks later, I think, another fourth. Or maybe even two.
Something like that.
So, yeah, that's when they're picking
a goalie.
Third,
man. How do you not have a third round pick? What did they trade? Oh, Schmidt. No, it's not Schmidt. No. They traded a 2022 for Schmidt. This is great radio as I look up which draft picks the Canucks have this year. No, Schmidt was a 2022.
Yeah, I thought it was a year.
They have all their picks this year, don't they?
I don't think that they... I think they have an extra pick. An extra sixth-round pick? Was it Jordy Benn traded for a sixth? They have an extra sixth.
But they still have a third, don't they?
I don't think so. I think it's two fours.
What the heck? Okay, quickly checking this.
I could be wrong here, though. This is...
You are wrong. They do have a third. They don't have a fourth. They have two fifths, two sixths. They do have a third. Back to what I was saying.
Their own third?
Huh? Yes, their own third.
Weird.
They traded their fourth for Tyler Toffoli.
So they have no fourth.
Nice little kick in the pants.
Two fifths, that's what it is.
Yeah, I think it was Tyler Toffoli.
Right,
I'm just guessing.
What was I think? I knew that.
Yeah, I'm just guessing that it was from Toffoli. But, yes, they have the fifth from Chicago, the sixth from Jordy Benn. Wow, that was a tough 2 minutes for us of radio. But
that was a minute.
Yeah.
We're okay.
They do have a third. They don't have a fourth. So, yes, Kolesov can be drafted by the Canucks in the third round. He should be drafted. If you're walking away with two position players in the first round, first and second round, okay, you walk away from this draft with...
You're getting a forward in the first round. You're getting, unless you get Brant Clark.
Yeah.
And you're getting defenseman in the second.
Whichever you don't take in the first, you take in the second, right? Like that's what I think we agree on here.
But
then you don't need a third. You don't need to spend a third round pick on a goalie.
Exactly. No, you do. You need a goalie. You need Kolasov.
No, you don't.
If Kolasov's there, you take him.
You have DiPietro. You have Demko. You have Silas.
I get it. I get it. And I do really like
Kostenko. You need everybody else. You need every other position.
Okay. I agree with you. I agree with you. But you can never have too many good goalies. A lot of these guys. Look, I like DiPietro more than anybody. I like Silas more than anybody. But man. Goalies are still a little bit voodoo. Like, you don't know how these guys are all going to turn out. But the
position players that you're drafting in the third round are very different from the position players that you're drafting in the sixth round.
I agree.
And I don't think goalies are that much different.
Yes, okay. I agree with you.
You've
got to
use that high draft capital to get position players.
Because if you're looking at pulling another Artur Silas, like, everybody listening to this, like, wrap your head around this. Silas was taken in the sixth round. Mm-hmm. He turned pro when he was like 19 or 20. He got married when he was 18. Means he's going to be set up for success for sure. But
Him and Pods,
man. Married when they're young. I love it. But this is the thing. Like, that's a sixth round pick. The Canucks don't have any sixth round picks that were forwards in that draft that turned out into North American players. Like, that came over and they're playing in the AHL. Like, no, that didn't happen.
Lukas Jacek.
Where's he now?
Not in the AHL.
Not in the AHL. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like, that's a good find by Ian Clark. And you have the right guy at the helm to go and not take Kolasov and take someone later. And I've already said Koskenvo is a guy I really like, or Koskenuvo. I don't know how they say his name. Finnish goaltender.
You better start figuring this out. You can bring this name up all the time.
Yeah. I think it's Aku Koskenvo.
First name's Aku?
Aku.
That's tight.
That's a pretty sick name.
That is
Aku
cool.
Koskenvo. I think that's a guy that's going to be available in the sixth, seventh round.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't spend a top 100 pick on a goalie.
Okay,
where the Canucks
agree.
Are at in this.
I agree. I agree. I just really like Kolasov. I think Kolasov's
sure.
a really solid goalie.
And if Ian Clark is 1,000% sold on him being better than Mikey DiPietro, sure.
He's not.
Go
He's
get
not
Kolasov.
Better than Mikey
but to me, that's not, you know, this team needs so many other things.
Kolasov's very athletic, though. That's the only thing. DiPietro is as well. But Kolasov reminds me a lot of Vasilevsky, just like Silas does. Silas reminds me a lot of Vasilevsky.
It's high praise.
Yeah.
To me, like, I wouldn't go until the fifth or sixth round to get a goalie.
Mm.
You got multiple picks in those rounds. Go that direction with it. Get yourself a goalie that you like late. Let Ian Clark really get into his, you know, diving into his scouting side of what he's doing for his job now, because obviously it's a different role, even though he's doing a lot of the exact same things. But to me, this team needs, I think you need to go best player available, and then you need to go defenseman.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a good center that you like in the third round or the second round that's falling, and that's the thing, like, this draft is going to have so many guys who, according to one site, it's falling, according to the other site's being picked too early. Like, a lot of these scouting sites are so different. The one that you kind of have to work off of is Bob McKenzie's, because he's talking to so many scouts and really putting together a list, you know, from their list that they're giving him. So that's kind of the one that I've been going off of, is Bob McKenzie's or the one at Elite Prospects, where they put together all of them. That one's a good one too, but you need ringside for that, which I got, by the way. EP ringside. It's nice. I like that. It helps a lot with the scouting. But yeah, even like that's something that you and I got to do. We got a trial for a pretty cool little hockey, I don't even know what to call it, website, sort of new sort of analytic way of watching videos.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been on that hard the last 2 weeks, getting a lot. That's what, you know, I said I spent a lot of time watching sports. I spent a lot of time, you know, going to bed and just looking at that. Watch how was, like, on that app, how nice is it watching it on the app on your phone?
Goalies is
just shift
so
by
easy
shift by
goalies.
Shift. Yeah, goalies you watch save by save. We watched a lot of hockey in the past 2 weeks. We have a meeting, actually, by the way. I'll let you know about that after the podcast with them. But I mean, like, there's a lot of players that I got to see a lot of eyes on for this draft, and there's a lot of guys that are going to be there for the Canucks at 41, or even for them, what would it be, at 73, I guess, for their next pick in the third round. And, you know, like, to me, you got to just get the best player available at all three.
Yeah.
But you got to get a defenseman, I think, at one of them. One of those three has to be a defenseman.
Yeah.
I think you're not even in that. You're not even in the wrong that much if all three are defensemen.
Really?
If you can get Brant Clark, Scotty Morrow, and then I forget the Hempelainen, the right shot Finnish guy.
Yeah.
or Kepalainen maybe, whatever his name is. Or no, Himosala. That's who I want. Himosalmi.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, there's so many names that I'm trying. I've been watching so much last little bit. But watch, like, you know, if you get three defensemen, like, and that's what you're going to boost into your prospect pool, three right shot defensemen. Heck, mm-hmm. You know, there's no problem with that for the Canucks where they're at right now.
That's kind of the mentality.
Yeah, I think you want to lean towards center or defenseman, but you know, if they don't pick a winger in this draft, that wouldn't hurt this Canucks team at all. Mm. You know, you got some wingers with some potential. Aiden McDonough's exciting. You know, Vasily Podkolzin's obviously coming in. It wouldn't hurt to just go out and get those positions if it's there. But also that first round pick, you know, I think the way that I've been feeling the vibe just of lately, I'm getting the vibe it's Dylan Gunther that the Canucks are going to pick. I think he's going to slide out. I think people are really hyped about Kent Johnson's offensive ability. I think Edvinson's got some people who love him. I think Brant Clark is a right shot D. He's best in draft. He's going to go in the top seven.
Some people are saying he's even go second overall. Man.
I know. Well, he's a good player, man. Brant Clark's a strong player. But to me, that the way that things are shaped down, and then if you throw the goalie in there, I think Dylan Gunther might get to the Canucks at 9, which is a very good pick for the Vancouver Canucks.
My pick? I actually wrote about this for Wings Nation. I should probably plug it on Twitter, but I wrote extensively about Jesper Wallstedt. Man, he's
Detroit
so
or
good.
San Jose.
Detroit.
Very like
Detroit should take him. Detroit needs him so badly.
But if Detroit gets William Eklund, you know, they got that Swedish connection there with Lucas Raymond now as well. So I don't think they pass on Eklund. But I see San Jose taking.
Some people said Eklund's going to go first overall.
Yeah.
This draft is so, there's so, like.
Well, Buffalo hasn't talked to Owen Power yet.
Yeah, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
That was a really interesting tidbit to come from those interviews that we did with the draft-eligible prospects.
Yeah, but he did say, the way that I tweeted out was pretty shady from me. Because right after that, he was like, but I'm having a conversation with them on Thursday.
Oh.
But still, like, how have you not talked to the number one draft prospect yet?
Maybe they don't look at him as number one.
Maybe. Maybe you're right. Maybe Eklund is the guy.
Did any of the prospects say Buffalo talked to me a lot?
Lots of them did.
Hmm.
Edvinson did. I can't remember. A lot of them said Buffalo was talking.
Edvinson, that's another guy.
A lot of them talked to Seattle. Seattle, honestly, from hearing, because a lot of people asked, I was on the media call. I obviously had to ask for Vancouver. A lot of people were asking for Columbus. Columbus had talked to a lot. Seattle had talked to a lot. And the Canucks have talked to a lot. Hmm. Everywhere else, like names, we haven't talked to them yet. So, like, you know, props to the Canucks. They're going out and they're talking to a lot of different guys and getting their read on him. Dylan Gunther loved his conversation with the Canucks front office. He said he would love to play in Vancouver, stay in the West Coast. He's a WHL guy, really well, played really well at the U18s. I watched every single shift of his on that app that we were using, and just watching him, you know, get skate, he can shoot, lot to like about him, decent size, winger. But yeah, I'd like to see, I think Gunther is the guy for me now. I think that a lot of people are thinking Kent Johnson's there. He's going to be one at 9. I got a feeling Johnson's going to go in the top 6 or 7 just because of what people see as his high-end potential, right? And there's a lot of high-end potential there, but Gunther's got a really high floor too, you know? And it's weird because the Canucks have gone both directions with that in their past few drafts. Like Elias Pettersson, very high ceiling. Floor wasn't as high as some of the players that already looked like they were close to NHL ready. Vasily Podkolzin, complete opposite, super high floor, not as high of a ceiling. And I'm curious to see where they go with this next one, because you could take a shot at someone who, you know, has that big boom opportunity like we've seen from Elias Pettersson, or you go with the guy who's probably just going to be a sturdy NHLer like you saw with Vasily Podkolzin. And they're going to have that option, I think, in this draft, especially if the goalie goes. That's going to be the big thing, is like, if you get a situation where, like, remember when Moritz Seider went so high? If you get that and you get a goalie, like if one guy in the top, kind of we have an idea of the 9 players that are going in this draft. If like one guy sneaks into that and the goalie gets taken, the Canucks are going to have some real options to who they want to pick. And it wouldn't shock me to see that at all.
No, not at all. Especially in a year like this where the OHL didn't even play. Like there's a lot of discrepancies in this draft class. And it's interesting to watch. Like it's interesting to watch new information kind of come out every week. It's like, oh, this team really likes this guy. And, you know, not to plug too much, but man, DFO, Daily Faceoff, owned by our parent company, The Nation Network. just added Frank Saravalli. He's got a lot of good stuff on the site, and he's going to have a lot of good draft content coming up.
Yeah.
I'm on the team at DFO, just helping out there. So,
and Saravalli's going to be around this podcast one of these days.
Yes, maybe he is coming on the podcast. That'll be fun to chat with him. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun to talk to him. But yeah, lots of new information coming out about the draft. Check out Daily Faceoff, Frank Saravalli. He's on there now. That was a big get. That was a big get. I was really happy to see that.
Nice little announcement video they had put out too. Yeah,
it was great. I was Downtown Jay, friend of the show.
Yep, Downtown Jay.
Come on the show. He was pretty excited about that announcement video, as was I. It was great. It was great to see.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. It's been nice to get back to podcasting here. Was there any other topics that we didn't really hit on?
Very quietly it happened. And it was actually Young Judd that kind of pointed it out.
Yeah, well, I've seen YJ's update.
Yeah, he's got...
He ain't 14 anymore when he was on the show here. I'll tell you, he ain't 14 anymore. He's turning into a little something.
Yeah, exactly. Good, so very, very quietly, the Canucks changed Todd Harvey's team staff information on the website to director of amateur scouting. The position that was once filled by Judd Brackett, no longer filled by Judd Brackett.
And I forget the name that was let go that a lot of people believe were the last
Jonathan
part
Bates.
Of Jonathan Bates, last part of Judd Brackett's
last Brackett sort of loyalist
that area guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Loyalist. Yeah. Yes. That's what I meant to say.
Right. Well, one of his, so he'll show up in Minnesota next year.
Anyways. Yeah, exactly. Very, very quiet news on that front. But yeah. Todd Harvey, new director of amateur scouting. He ran that last draft.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it's not Judd Brackett, but Todd Harvey's a fine replacement.
Exactly. And now, it's hard to criticize too much because they didn't have a first or second round pick, but that is looking like a bad draft class.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
A lot of people don't like Yanni Yermo as much as they once did.
No. Yanni Yermo is not even my favorite from that draft.
Victor Pearson, we've made it very clear. Like, it's crazy. Slodi Evan Pearson. It's crazy that the guys taken in the 5th and 7th round are looking like the only players that looking like the only players that have a chance of sticking in the league. Now, if they selected a goalie, different story, but... yeah, Victor Pearson, he's coming over. He has to basically dominate the WHL as an overager.
He's on the right team. That's the champions of the BC division there.
Yeah, to be considered, like...
I guess we should call this a prospects report. We've been diving in on
it. Prospects report.
No poll question this week either.
No poll question.
We're rusty.
Yeah, we're a little rusty. For Victor Pearson to be considered a top prospect and kind of how, you know, we're singing his praises right now, he has to dominate the WHL. Like, he can't just come in and be like a second, third pair defenseman and then us be like, oh, maybe he can make it to the NHL. Like, no, he has to come in. He has to dominate just like he did in that third tier junior Swedish league where he's like, yeah, like, nobody's really good in this league.
Yeah, he told me he was too good for that league.
Which is great. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome confidence. And now he needs to come be too good for the dub.
I think he is going to. I really think Victor Pearson's going to come in and get into the North American game, and it's going to fit so well with the way he plays.
Yeah.
He's offensive. He's physical. He can pass a puck. He can skate. We're going to see some. He's going to be a gift machine next year. And Kamloops, the people that I've already talked to in the front office at Kamloops, they're very excited for him to join their group. The people that I talked to wouldn't tell me if he was going to be their first pairing guy, but he's going to be used a lot. You know, like, this isn't going to be one of those situations where it's like, oh, I wonder how he's going to fit in North American hockey. We'll have him as like the 6-7 guy. Like, no, like, Pearson's coming in to play a big role for the Kamloops Blazers, coming off of a BC championship, best team in BC. He's going to play with Logan Stankoven, who, you know, he's short king. And if he sneaks out of the first round, Canucks got to trade up for him.
Yeah.
Canucks got to trade up from 41 to get Stankoven. If he slides through the first round, go get that kid. Go get Stankoven if you can from 41.
Any chance he's there at 41?
He's not there at 41, but he's there. He could be there 27 to 35.
Left shot defenseman?
Stankoven, no, forward.
Oh, really?
Yeah, winger mostly.
Ah,
yeah, Logan Stankoven, 5'8", little rock star, man.
Shows you how much draft prep I've done on people aren't goalies.
That's the thing. Like, I have just crushed the potential second round picks
for
the
Canucks. I've completely left that for you. I'm learning about these guys as I'm reading about them.
Now, which I'm excited to do now is get back into some video and start to do, you know, fourth to seventh round guys. You know, you don't have to. That's the thing that I find.
I'll give you the goalies.
Yeah, you got goalies. I don't want to even see any of that. But, like, I like that, you know, when you watch these guys in the fourth, seventh round, you're really taking a swing on just like a high-end potential. So you see some of these guys and you see, you watch some of their better games, you watch some of their worst games in the year, and then, you know, you see a couple things in those good games where you're like, wow, there might be something here. And you got to watch, obviously, a lot more than just one or two games to know what you're talking about. But that's what I like about the late-round picks is just seeing one or two skills that sticks out. One or two skills that's probably a first or second round level if he was to have all of his skills at that level. But if they just have one or two, you know, one or two skills, be able to skate, be able to shoot, do something. You know, Klimovich isn't a good example out of Belarus there. Like, man, that guy could shoot. But, you know, he's probably going to end up being a third-round pick. And that's another one I like for the Canucks if they get him to the third-round pick. Or, you know, lots of options, lots of options. But that's going to be fun. It's draft season, man. And, you know, we haven't even touched on it because it's, I think we were just stoked to come back and talk Canucks. But Stanley Cup Finals might be over tonight. I think it's over tonight, Game 5.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't think Montreal gets out of this one. In Tampa, hurricane season. I think they're winning tonight.
Montreal in 6.
What the
I'm just kidding. I'm just reminding people that I called Montreal in 6.
Yeah, you did.
Against
you
Vegas. Did. Just a little reminder.
I was thinking of tweeting out Tampa Bay in 5 like the other day, like after Montreal won. I was like, oh, they're probably just going to win it in 5. Where are you at on this series? Because we'll close out with this. Like, I want it to be over.
I've had a baseball game Montreal every night. Back. Every really? Night that they've played, I've had a baseball game.
Ooh, that's
so
tough.
I haven't watched just, like, any of the finals.
It just hasn't felt like Montreal even has a chance. It's just like, I just want it to be over for them. I just want to get moving into the offseason, get to the buyout period. I don't think they're doing...
As my nono says, Gary Price deserves a cup.
Yeah, he does.
I agree with him.
Oh, like, I would way rather Montreal win, but they just... Man, that's a really good team over there.
It is.
That's such a good team
built
in
really,
Tampa.
Really well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary Price, gonna do? Man. Gary Price. He's
Gary
win.
Price, yeah.
Yeah. I think this is a good time to close it out.
Sure. unless you want to say Gary Price one more time.
Gary Price. We gotta have him on the show. Get him on the show.
Gary Price?
No, my no.
Oh, yeah.
To talk
yeah.
about Gary Price.
That's a Patreon. Let's shout the Patreon one yes. more time. Before yeah. we go, I'll let you close out. This is the last time I cut you off. But Patreon, if you want to join the Patreon, if you've been on the fence about it, this July is the month to do it, Quads. We're already 7 days in with the first episode. We got to pick it up. But if you want to join the Patreon, we're going to do weekly episodes all throughout the summer, all, you know, moving into next season as well. We'll see how many we do. But, you know, it's going to be month, every single month, you're going to get, you know, 4 to 5 Patreon episodes. We're going to try and do some other fun stuff on there as well. Perhaps we'll be doing the meatball cook-off or something like that.
The home run derby.
Home run derby. That's going to be fun. But yeah, if you want to join the Patreon, we're going to do a giveaway this month for everyone who joins in July. We already do giveaways for the people that have been on for a while. We give away a lot of stuff to them. But we're going to do a big giveaway for new Patreon subscribers this month. If you join the Patreon this month, the $5 or $10 tier, you're going to get all the content, all of the Patreon episodes, Faber and Quad Shoot the Bleep, where we don't talk a lot of hockey. We did a little bit today.
A little bit.
But I told the story about getting punched in the face on the Patreon. If you want to go check that out, my last night in Nanaimo, that's a nice way to say goodbye to Nanaimo. I get punched in the face. We'll tell that story on there. Some other stuff that we talked about, how Quads got sunburnt. All the exciting stuff, you know, all the great stuff. But if you join, like I said, we'll be entered into a draw, $5 and $10 people. One of our new subscribers. We already have one new Patreon subscriber this week, Sterling Wilson. Shout out to him. He's got a good setup right now for him. He's the only entrant, so he could be walking away with the prize pack. But if you want to get in on the prize pack, patreon.com/CanucksCombo. Come on by, and we appreciate the support because gas is getting damn expensive, and Quads and I live about an hour away from each other, so I need some gas money, please.
Absolutely. Okay, Chris, this was a lot of fun. We'll be back on Friday with the team name of the Abbotsford team. We'll have that,
Saturday.
Too. Yes, the episode will be out on Saturday.
You're rusty, man.
We'll be back on Friday to record. It'll be out on Saturday. They know how it works.
You're
they
rusty.
Know how
that's
it works.
The problem. Even your very start, your Zephyr Epic, you were slurring some words.
What?
Yeah, a couple
no,
of
what
them.
Did I slur?
Just it wasn't crisp. It wasn't crisp
really?
Like your normal
I thought one. I crushed that. Whatever. Anyway, for Chris Faber, my name is David Quadrelli. My feelings are a little bit hurt. Thank you so much for listening to the Canucks Conversation.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.